do? Okay, it's going to open. I am using a a digital Bible, and sometimes, you know, they can just decide to. So karibuni wageni wetu. We thank God at least we have one visitor who has not been here before. Welcome our sister. We trust that you will find a new place in Grace Hill Mission Church, Northlands. Okay, now just for a recap. For the last five weeks, today being the sixth one, we've been studying the book of Ephesians together. And we started with chapter zero. And we introduced ourselves to the book of Ephesians, where we looked at the writer and his circumstances. We also introduced ourselves to the book of, to the city of Ephesus, and we introduced ourselves to the church in Ephesus. And then we came to chapter 1, which we largely said it is Paul is communicating to the church about the blessings that we have in God. And we said they are divided into three. There are some blessings that we have been given by the Father. And there are some blessings that we have been given by the Father through the Son. In chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, the first blessings we have from the Father is that in Him, He has chosen us. Verse 3 and 4. Verse 5, He has adopted us. Verse 6, He has accepted us. And we continued with verse 7, the blessing through the Son. Verse 7 talked about the redemption that we have in Him. It also talked about the forgiveness, talked about the revelation of the will of God, and an inheritance that we have in Him. Part 4, we looked at the blessings through the Holy Spirit, which the Bible says that He has sealed us. He has been given to us as a down payment for our inheritance. And then He has been the mark of ownership of God in our lives. Last week, which is part 5, we looked at the prayer that Paul made for the church in Ephesus. And we looked at 4 areas of prayer where Paul makes that prayer. And he said, we said that that is from chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. And we say Paul is praying, number 1, that you may know Him. That was the desire of Paul concerning the Ephesians. And then we said the next prayer that he prays is that you may know the hope of your calling. So number 1, he prays that you may know Him, that you may know the Lord. Number 2, he prays that you may know the hope of His calling. Number 3, he prays that you may know the riches of His inheritance. And number 4, that you may know the power. That is what we did last week, and that is what we have done so far in the book of Ephesians. So I can see somebody struggling. Let me just remind you, part 5 of this series, which was last Sunday, we did that you may know Him, that you may know the hope of your calling, that you may know the riches of His inheritance, and that you may know the power that is at work within you. I think now we are together. Even if you are a visitor, I think I have brought you up to speed. Now we can continue. But before we continue, something happened in the course of the week that reminded me of what we were sharing last week. We started where Paul was telling the Ephesians that ever since I heard about you, and we said that there is what is said about us in this community. There is that what reaches the ears of the people. Just like the Acts, what the Ephesians were doing reached Paul, even in our situation here, there is what we are doing, and it is reaching the people. And it was confirmed on Tuesday. For those that come for Tuesday ministry, I was not here, but I was being told by those people who are here that a group of people came, and they came because they have heard that there is a church that is, you know, I don't know who said it, but there is a church that gives scholarship. And I was wondering, haya, walikuja kwa kanisa ya hema ambao inapeana, I mean, I was wondering, okay, and there were a group, but that was encouraging, that what we are doing could be very small, but it is going far and wide. People are already talking about who Grace Hill Mission Church is. And thank God that what is being said about what we are doing is the true picture of who we are. We said that in Grace Hill Mission Church, God is writing beautiful stories. And God is writing beautiful stories using people, using you and using me. May we find joy. May we find satisfaction. May we find fulfillment in our being, or, you know, being partners with God as He writes beautiful stories. You know, even if we are here for one beautiful story, let's push it to the end. Let us know that God is using us to write beautiful stories, and these stories will be for eternity. The question is, are you available, my sister? Are you available, my brother, for God to use you to write a beautiful story? The moment that you are available, God is ready. God is using beautiful, is writing beautiful stories every single day. So we go to part 6 of our series, the book of Ephesians. And now we have just finished chapter 1. I trust that we will be able to, my teacher tells me that I should not be doing a series that is beyond 12 parts. And I can only see that we have done 6 parts. We have finished chapter 1. We have 5 to go. I trust that now in the 6 that are remaining, we will be able to do from chapter 2 all the way to chapter 6. But praise be to the name of the Lord. I trust that you have been ministered to through what is happening in the book of Ephesians. So we start with chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we see, I want us to read so that we can get the big picture. And I start chapter 2 and verse 1. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature children of wrath. We continue. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show in the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's work, hard work created in Christ to do good works which God prepared in us, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Sometimes I get so captivated when I read the word. You know, this one, you read and you feel like you really do not need an explanation, because it is such a clear picture. Paul is painting a clear picture of before and after. Now, I know a number of you have been here long enough to watch. There are things that came in the TV that were called Extreme Makeovers. And there was also, there was this one of losing weight, ilikuwa inaitwa nini? Oh, Slim Possible. Now I can see you watch TV. Now, if you remember what was happening in the Slim Possible, the picture that would come, always, you start with somebody who is as big as I am. You know, fat as I am. I can't give an example of anybody else. I don't want to be in trouble. And they bring somebody, and this is Matthew before. And they take you through how many weeks? All that. And they tell you, this is how he looks now. And gradually, there were ladies. And you could see, you know, ladies that come, and there is a way that they would be dressed, you know, before, to really amplify how they look. They look baggy, and you are told, this is how she looked. After 10 weeks, this is how she looked. And this is exactly what Paul is doing. Paul is calling us to look at our picture before we met Christ. And after we meet Christ, this is how we looked, and this is how we look today. But now, it's not everybody that is good and faithful to do what they are supposed to do. There was one company in the US which used to sell those products which would help you slim or lose weight. And there were, somebody noticed a lady they had used. They took a lady who was pregnant, like five, six months pregnant. And they say, this is how she looked before she took our product. And then they took the same lady after delivery, after some few months. They say, this is how she looks. And it is wow, you know. This one, oh, that product must be working. Not knowing, Yakwamba, this lady was pregnant. But Paul is not doing any magic. He is telling us, now listen, as for you. Now that talks about you and me. You are dead in your transgressions and sins which you lived in when you followed the ways of this world. Now Paul is telling you that literally you were dead. And I think we all understand death. Is there somebody that does not understand death in this congregation? You know, death, Paul is telling us that you are dead. And I know you can start wondering, how then did I come to life? I want to take just a few minutes and explain what the Bible talks about when it is talking about death. So I will take three explanations of death, biblically. Then we look at three interventions that God did, and then we look at three positions of where we are, and we will be done with our service today. Number one, the Bible talks about death as a spiritual, there is a spiritual death aspect. You see this in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, a very, very kawaida verse. God tells Adam and Eve that thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Thou shalt not, yeah, the knowledge, the tree of knowledge and evil, the good and evil. When you eat it, what will happen? You will surely die. But when they eat, do we see them dead? Do they just fall down and die? No, they do not. But what happens? There is a spiritual separation. This is the first time that we see death in the Bible. It is not a physical death. It is a death where the spirit of man, which has been in fellowship with God, is separated. And man goes his ways to do his things, and God goes his way. So that is number one, there is the spiritual death. They continued living without God. That is number one, spiritual death. Now the other one is the physical death. It is found in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The physical death, the Bible talks so easily about it. It is so final. It says that it is appointed for man to die once. And after that, judgment. That is the second death. It is a physical death. It is when your body is separated from your soul. Now we have said that the spiritual death, the first death, is when your spirit is separated from God. That is the spiritual death. Number two is the separation of the body from the soul. Then, number three, we find the third death in the book of Revelations chapter 21 and verse 8. And I would want to read. The Bible is talking about another death. But the fearful, okay, I have started somewhere in between. You will go and read it in your own time. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which, in the lake, sorry, which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Now, we have seen, number one, the spiritual death. When you sin, when you do what God does not command you to do, he separates your spirit from his spirit, first death. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that, judgment. That is the second death. But then the Bible calls the other one the second death, which is now eternal separation. When you are completely, your fate is sealed, separated from God forever and ever. And you will live in the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. That is the second death. Now, it is in that light that now Paul says that for you, as for you, now that talks about you, it talks about me. You are dead in your transgressions. So we ask ourselves, what is this that caused death? Number one, Paul says that the definition of your death is, and follow it very clearly, when you followed the ways of this world. That is in Ephesians chapter 2. When you follow the ways of this world, you were dead. So there are three ways in which Paul explains this death. Number one, following the ways of this world, following the rulers of the kingdom of the air, and gratifying the cravings of the flesh. So we have already talked about three deaths. We have talked about three things that caused death in your case. And I want us now to talk about three things that God did. And I want to read again, verse 4 to 6. Verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, number one, what did he do? He made us alive with Christ. When we were dead in transgressions, It is by grace you have been saved. So number one, we say, he raised us. No, he made us alive in Christ. Made us alive in Christ. Then number two, he raised us up. And I think for me to be clear, when somebody, when God makes you alive, many a times he wants to explain that as being raised. But the issue of being raised is a little different from the issue of being raised. Being brought back to life, because like in a case of Christ, he could have been raised and still in the grave. But he got alive and he was raised. And this is the same thing that God did to us. That God, because of his great mercy that he had on us, he made us alive in Christ. And God raised us up and seated us in him in the heavenly realms. Now, if you have followed the story of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, what Paul is telling you is that what happened to Christ is what happened to you. What happened to Christ is what happened to me and to you. God raised him from the grave. He gave life to him. He raised him up and he has made him sit on his right hand side. On the right hand of God, we have Christ who is seated therein. And because God does not have favoritism, God doesn't have favorite. What he did to the only begotten son, he had to do to this son and to this daughter that is seated in Grace Hill Mission Church today. He raised you, he gave you life, he raised you up, and he has made you seated, hallelujah, amen, together with Christ. And therefore, this is how we got this series title, Sit, Walk, Stand. So now we have come to the first word of this series, where we are seated with Christ. What does it mean to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms? When we talk about being seated, we are talking about a position of authority. We're talking about a position of leadership. For example, when we say that the president of Kenya today, the seat of president today is occupied by who? So who is seated in the presidency today? We all know. It doesn't mean that he doesn't stand. Even when he is standing, he is seated on the seat of power. Are you getting me? So when we are talking about you as being seated, we are not talking about a physical appearance. We are not talking about a physical position, but we are talking about a position of power. The Bible says that you have been seated together with Christ. You can exercise the power and the authority of heaven on this earth. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. So even if you walk, even if you are walking on this earth, the Bible says that you do not wage war against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Amen. But you are fighting against spiritual powers because you are seated in Christ, with Christ, together with Christ. So because it is an authority, it only means that what belongs to Christ belongs to you. The authority, the privileges of Christ Jesus have become yours. For what reason? Because he has made you sit together with him in the heavenly realms. And therefore, even when we are standing, even when we are walking on this earth, my brother and my sister, it is time that we start knowing, exercising the authority that we have in him. Because there will be times that the enemy would want to make you feel defeated. We have just prayed for our sister here
who has been sick, I want to tell you that this battle, once you know where it is fought, once you know where it has been won, you will exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. You will be able to tell the sicknesses that now, sickness, you have no place in my body. Whatever challenges your families will be facing, because the enemy will come and he would want to make you feel defeated. He would want to make you feel as though you do not have that authority. Please always remember that in Christ, with Christ Jesus, you are seated together with him. My computer today is quite misbehaving, but we are going to continue. So we are looking at what it means to be seated together with Christ. We have said that it's a position of authority. So this is a continuous truth in your case. It's a continuous truth in my case. And I want, when we talk about a position of authority, when we talk about a way, the mystery that you could be walking on earth and still seated, it reminds me of a legal standing. Now, it means you have a legal authority in the spiritual realms. For example, when I met Faith, she was a girl. I was a young man. And we got married. Now, when we got married, what really happened is that she is legally the legal owner of what I have. And what she has, I am the legal owner. And it doesn't matter where I am. As far as we are legally married, she remains legally owned by me. I remain legally owned by her. And therefore, when Christ talks about you being seated together with him, you have all the legal rights, owning what he has, and him owning all that you have. When Jesus is talking about where you are seated, I want us to read John chapter 17 and verse 18. Listen to what Christ is praying for his disciples. I want you to get a clear picture of how Jesus looks at you. He says, I pray not thou that you should take them out of this world. So Christ is praying for his disciples, and in extension, praying for us. But that thou should keep them from all evil. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me, so have I sent them into this world. Now, Christ is saying, the authority that I had from my Father is the authority that I am passing down to those that are called by my name. So when Christ went and sat together with God, there is that authority he had come with on earth. That is the authority he leaves on his people. He continues and says that for though 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, I know, wewe ukona mwiri, ukona damu, na ukona mifupa. For though you walk in the flesh, you do not wage war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But what are they? They are mighty through God. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. What do they do? What do they do? Hallelujah. Let me see this. Let's look at this. Hiya. Leo. I don't know what is happening. I think we need to lay our hands on these ones. Aya, now. I think let me just restart it again so that we can continue. I think I'm okay. Thank you. For the weapons of our warfare, maybe Pastor Kings can read for us.
Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Do we begin from verse 4 before that?
Yes, verse 4 is okay. Well, no, verse 3 and 4.
It also begins with 4, but it's okay. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Amen.
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 For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war against the flesh. But now I think I need help. He's completely misbehaving. Okay, sorry for that. But what Paul is saying is that, brethren, can we see ourselves right? If it's a PowerPoint. It's okay. PowerPoint part 6. Now, Paul is telling the Corinthians, see yourself as you ought. Do not be limited to what you see in the physical body. Because the physical body is not the real reality. There is an in-depth reality that is deeper than what we see. So that when you walk on this earth, when you walk, you know, when tomorrow or today, this afternoon, you will be walking down there, you will not be seeing yourself as just as limited as everybody else. You will know that even though I stand or I walk on this flesh, in this flesh, I do not belong to the world. I do not belong to the limitations that are there in the world. I have a special power and a special anointing that comes from God. So that you will be able to exert it. You remember when we were saying that the power that is at work within us, God has released the power that raised Christ from the dead. And he says that power is at work within us.
Amen.
You are able to take control of situations because Christ lives in you. And therefore, my brother and my sister, we are talking about every one of us seeing ourselves as we ought. Thank you. All right, now I think we are talking about the power that is at work within us. The reason why many of us are not using this power is simply because we are thinking in terms of the physical. We are not thinking that we have extra than what we have physically. We only look at what we have. I mean, how do I explain this?
we limit ourselves to what is physically feasible. What I can see, what I can hear. But let us remember that God has power that is working. He is working already in us. And because what belongs to Christ belongs to us, you can work in that realm of the Spirit, destroying every power, bringing down every stronghold in the name that is above all other names. We have said that what God did when he raised Christ from the dead is what he did in your case. It is what he did in my case. He brought us back to life, raised us up, and therefore you are not of this world. Brethren, you are not of this world. You can operate at the other, at that realm of the Spirit. But the problem is, we do not know. Remember, Paul praying about the Ephesians, the study for last week was that you may know him, that you may know the riches of his inheritance, so that you do not no longer walk in a defeated, in a stature that will suggest that you are defeated, that you may know the riches of his inheritance in the saints. That not only will you know the inheritance, that you may also know the power that is at work within you. Brethren, there is power that is within you. Amen. There is power. And that power is at work within you. It does not say it works in pastors, does not say it works in the mighty tele-evangelist. It works in the body of Christ. And when we talk about Christ, the Bible says that he is the head and we are the body. Let us remember, the authority of the head is exercised through the body. So please know where you are positioned. Know what is your place in this body. It is you that will, if you are the legs, you are the ones that will walk for the body to be felt, for the body to move, for Jesus to move in our community. Maybe you are the legs, you are the hand, you are the eyes. And many a times, we fail to see what God is seeing. We fail to see what the body of Jesus Christ ought to see. I remember a scenario of a person who saw somebody that was had a lot of trouble, and he went to God praying, "Oh God, may you see him and do something." And God answered and said, "I have already done something." And God, the guy is confused. "What have you done?" And God tells him, "I have caused you to see." And brethren, Christ wants to move the power in the head. The power that is in the head, Jesus Christ, wants to move, to flow through the body, the church of Jesus Christ. And you and I are part of this body. Go out in that company where you are, in that community, in that neighborhood where you live. Let this power of God flow through you, for you are part of the body. When Paul is talking to Ephesians 2 and 14, he is talking about something I want us to see. And this was very, very exciting to me. He has now left the issue of wanting them to know, but he brings up to the scenario of exactly what happened. So he's talking about the issue of Gentiles and the issue of Jews. When he says, "For he himself was our peace." He has made the two groups one, and he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That is Ephesians 2:14. I know you may be wondering, where am I going? We have been talking about power, but we go, Paul brings it down to the level that we ought to understand. If you have been very keen, he says, he starts, "But as for you." That is how we started in verse 1. He is talking about Gentiles. Now, He continues, I think in verse 6 and 7, he says, for us, together with us. Now, he brings the issue of the Gentiles being at the same level with the Jews, with the chosen people of God. So he now breaks it down to what exactly happened. So he says, for he himself is our peace. He brought peace to those who are far off and those who are near. Who are these ones who are far off? Us, the Gentiles, we had no place in the commonwealth of God. You are far off, separated. We were separated from God. We had no place in the commonwealth of God. But Jesus Christ became our peace. And he made one body out of the two. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. I like this. I love it. So when we talk about the wall of austerity, I want us to go. I love history. History is so good. In 1934, and that is very recent, 1934 is less than 100 years ago, there were archaeologists that were digging at the site of the temple. And they found this part of the wall that was written these words. Anyone caught doing this will have himself to blame for the death that ensues. Now, the wall is written, anyone caught doing this, and it is there in the museum, and it is a very recent discovery. The wall has clearly written thing that anyone caught doing this will have himself to blame for death that ensues here. What is this? This was part of the wall that was dividing the Gentile court and the Hebrew or the Jews court in the temple. It was a literal wall, and it had that warning clearly that if anybody is caught going beyond that, who is not a Jew, who is not the descendant of Abraham, will have only himself to blame. So what did Jesus do? When he came, the Bible says he destroyed the wall. He brought down the wall of austerity, that you and I can go before God and claim that what is ours, claim that blessing that is ours in the name of Jesus. The wall of austerity is no longer active. Whoever is caught God doing this now is free. Hallelujah. Because the wall has been brought down. Amen. You can walk into the throne room of God. With all your trouble, with all your burdens, you can bring them at the feet of Jesus Christ. It could be that in your life, the trouble that has really kept you down over and over in the years, you may have been wronged by people. You may have been feeling, these ones I cannot forget, this one I cannot forgive. But praise be to the name of the Lord. When you are dead in your transgression, Jesus forgave you. And he commissions you to go out and forgive as the way he has forgiven you. You can walk free. Amen. You can walk a free spirit. Having forgiven those you think are unforgivable. Having let free those you think that they really did wrong. So, and finally, I want us to conclude by this invitation. I want us to listen to the plan that God has. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2 is an invitation that I want us to just dwell 5 minutes. We dwell on this invitation to listen to what God had in mind when he did this, when he has raised you up, when he has brought you back to life, when he is sitting or he's making you sit together with Jesus Christ. This is his plan. listen to his plan, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Hallelujah. God wants to show his own incomparable great riches. You know, the reason God is working in you, he wanted to be known. Ya kwamba wale watu huwa wanaokoka, wanakaa kama huyu, wanakaa kama wewe. In your society, God wants to show his incomparable great riches. That is his plan. But one thing that caught my attention, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but we sure it is coming, in order that in the coming age, he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus has kindness that he wants to express to you. He wants to express through kindness, kindness through you, that when he looked at you, you are unlovable, yet he loved you. You are unacceptable, yet he accepted you. You are not to be valued, yet he valued you so, so much. And he has brought you to the seat where he is saying that he is seated together with you in the heavenly realms, with only one plan, that he may show his incomparable great riches through Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved. Brethren, none of us qualify to stand before God and say, that now I am so good. I am so good that I can be saved. But it is God, through his grace, who has saved us by faith. It is by faith you have been saved. So that through faith, and it is not from any, it is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Let us remember that your salvation is a gift from God, so that no one can boast. God desires that none of us will boast, but we will always be careful, seeing the grace of God that is at work within us. For we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Brethren, God prepared something for you to do. In advance, God has something very particular for you. He prepared it in advance. He is not looking at you now and anajiuliza, na sasa huyu msichana atafanya nini? Haya sasa huyu mzee atafanya nini? No, 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 no. He prepared it in advance for you to do. There will be great joy for anybody in the Church of Jesus Christ today who will discover what are the good works that God had set aside. Anasema hii, mukami diyo anakuja kufanya. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Anasema PK yake atafanya hii. Brethren, let us be lost in seeking, in searching, completely given to knowing that what God has called you to do. God wants to show his power through you. God wants to show his incomparable great mercy through you. And how does he show that? By accomplishing that what he is calling you to do. It is my prayer that every one of us will realize, will wake up to this reality, that God has a plan for me. He has a place that is already set, that I may stand right where he desires me to stand. And once we do that, your life will be so, so fulfilled. Your family will be fulfilled. Everything about you will be fulfilled. Not because of the earthly standards. Please let's remember that when Paul is saying that you are dead in Christ, he says you are dead when you walked in the ways of this world. The ways of this world, the standards of this world are not our standards, brethren. Do not kill yourself chasing after the things of this world. That is part of being dead. The standard of this world, it is good to drive a good car. My prayer is that you will all do. It is good to have a big house. My prayer is that you will all have a big house one day. But my biggest prayer, my biggest desire for the Church of Jesus Christ today is that we may discover that what is the purpose for which God is calling us. So that in the coming age, the plan of God may be revealed in us. So do not look down on yourself. You may think, I did not go to school, I do not have a degree, I don't know what. I want to tell you, God has some work for some people without a degree. Do not be so proud that you have one. God still have a piece of work that is set for a degree in the hand of his people, of his children. Whoever you are, whatever you do, God has a plan for you. So he created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. Let us remember, it is by grace that you have been saved. What I mean is, it is not the good works that will save you. But you, once you are saved, there is some good work that is set apart for you. So as we conclude, I want us to surrender our lives to him, knowing that he has some good work for you to do. We can operate in the realms of the Spirit. We can operate at the authority of Jesus Christ, accomplishing that what will glorify God, accomplishing that what will show him, that will show the greatness of God through our lives, through the lives that we are living every day. We can stand up and say, I am here to glorify God. His incomparable great riches are known through me. The wall has been broken. You can walk into the throne of God and start operating in the heavenly realms, breaking down every power, bringing down every stronghold, bringing every argument down that exalts itself against the knowledge, above the knowledge of God. You are able to bring it down in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration, O God, because of what you are doing in our midst. Indeed, you have caused us to be raised up. You have caused us to be seated together with you in the heavenly realms. How I pray that every one of us seated in this congregation, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are going to have the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of revelation, our eyes of our understanding may be opened, that we may see the plans that you have for us. Every one of us, let us just go before the Lord. Ask God to open the eyes of your spirit. Ask God to enlighten your spirit, that you may see that what the plan that he has for you, despite and in spite of the challenges that are in your life today, may you go before the Lord and claim out of his throne room the things that are from him, the plans that he has for you. Oh God, that you may show your incomparable great power in the lives of every one of us who is seated in this place. Our Father, through the lives of our families, through the life, our lives in our careers, through our lives in our studies, oh God, we are praying that you may show yourself. Show yourself, oh God. Reveal yourself, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Let every one of us, dear Lord, walk in the fulfillment of your plan. Walk in the fulfillment of your power. In the name of Jesus, how I want to pray that Jehovah God, your glory shall shine in a great and a wonderful way, a way that we have not known before. Our Father, we will know the reason for what you are calling us. The great work that you are calling us to do. The good work that you are calling us to do. Lord, I pray that it won't be a mystery anymore, but every one of us will have a clear picture of where you want us to be, what you want us to do. And Jehovah God, we will walk therein. Father, we want to destroy every power of the enemy, every stronghold that is working against us, some of us in our businesses. We know that the enemy is fighting us in our businesses, but we want to proclaim that victory is ours. Yes, our businesses are blessed. Our families are blessed. We want to come against every power of the enemy, every principality that is fighting against our families not to stand. We want to proclaim that in the name of Jesus, our families will stand. Our children will be blessed. Yes, our children are going to be favored. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we want to pray that your blessings are going to fall afresh upon our lives, upon our families, upon our jobs, in the name of Jesus Christ, that God, you may show yourself the incomparable power, the incomparable blessing that God, you have bestowed upon your children, will be ours. Glory and honor will come back to you. It will be given to you, dear Lord, when people look at us and say that indeed these are the blessed ones of God. We worship you. We honor you, King of all kings. Our Father and our God, we surrender our lives completely into your hands. May you take over and lead us. May you take over, O God, and fight this battle for us. When the battle rages, Lord, we want to be completely yielded to you. In the name of Jesus, we want to pray that God, our going out and our coming in will be directed of you. We will find very special blessings only meant for your children. Blessings that the world will look at us and say that we are blessed of God. And for a testimony of the greatness of God, our Father, we seek to walk in your blessing and in your cover. Release your blessing upon us, O God. Release your favor in everything that we do. Release your favor, our Father, in the businesses that we are doing. I pray that we may get clients. I pray that we may get customers, Lord. I pray that in our jobs you will get promotions. We know that even in this time when the economy is looking down, our Father, there are still those who are blessed of you, and you bless them in spite and despite of the situation. Our Father, we can plant and we can harvest 100-fold because we are your children. And this is the confidence that we want to walk in today. We pray that in the name of Jesus, every one of us shall walk free, free and free indeed. Free to exercise what you are calling us to do. Free to be your children, raised from the dead, so that we can do great works and good works for the glory and honor of the one that called us into glory and to the greatness of his purpose. May you be exalted. May you be enthroned forever and ever. And now, Lord, as we get into this new week, we pray that our ways will be guided and guarded of you. You will be our layer guard. You will lead us. Our Father in greatness, you will hold our hands. Our food and our water will be blessed. Our homes will be the place where you dwell. And in our spirit, dear Lord, it will be clear that indeed you dwell therein, wanting to establish us in your great power and purpose. We release ourselves into your counsel. May you counsel with us. May you walk with us the week and every single day that is ahead of us. May you be glorified, may you be honored. This we pray, trusting and believing